Recording
Now
has
it's
started.
recording, yes.
Okay.
Sweet Jesus.
Welcome back, everyone, and hello to season two of Behind the Mic.
We are really glad you are here with us again. Whether you are listening on a commute, between assignments, or winding down after a long shift, thank you for tuning in. This season, we want to go a little deeper, not just about terminology and techniques, but about professionalism, emotional resilience, and of course, the human side of this job.
Which brings us to today's topic, a question we've probably all encountered at work or in life.
So, is being sick or ill a reason or an excuse to be an asshole?
Yeah, so today we'll talk about compassion versus boundaries, mm-hmm. empathy versus enabling, and how interpreters protect professionalism, mental health, and without losing humanity.
Totally agree. If you ever muted your mic and taken a deep breath like me, this episode is for you.
So let's get into it. It's, you know, being sick or ill a reason or an excuse to be an asshole. Because as interpreters, we hear this play out every single day.
Oh, yes. Being sick, in pain, scared or overwhelmed is a reason for difficult behavior. Yes, I understand. But it's not always an excuse for disrespectful behaviors, don't you think?
Oh yeah, I think so too. So a reason explains why someone is acting a certain way. Mm-hmm. An excuse tries to justify anything that comes out of their mouth, you know?
Yes, when someone is ill, especially in a medical settings, pain, fear, or even exhaustion can lower patience and impulse control. Definitely.
Yeah, but then, you know, pain explains behavior, right? It doesn't give a free pass for abuse, don't you think?
Definitely. And this is a gray zone interpreters live in. We are expected to stay neutral, stay calm and accurate, even when emotions are boiling.
Yeah, I mean, okay, we absorb anger. Yeah, frustration, sarcasm, sometimes hostility, to, you know, and still deliver clear interpretation.
Understanding doesn't mean tolerating everything.
Oh, yeah. And let's not forget, interpreters get sick and burn out too, you know.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Being unwell doesn't excuse sloppy interpretation or snapping at others either. Mm-hmm. Compassion works both ways.
Absolutely. You know, so the real question becomes, so how do we show empathy without abandoning accountability? Yeah. So coming back to one of the calls, and I'm not sure about you. I'm sure you do. So sometimes the patient comes in, you know, they are in pain. And they've been screaming, they've been waiting for a long time, and I see the poor nurses trying to calm them down. And the doctors are busy with other patients who are also in terrible pain or discomfort, right? Otherwise, why is it called emergency room or department, right?
Yeah.
And you get them trying to get ahead of people. It's like, I've been waiting here for so many hours, you know, why isn't the doctor here? You know, I'm in pain, lots of pain. Oh, I'm gonna die. You know, the doctor is just not doing his job. You know, that kind of thing. I wonder if you, how many calls, you know, on average that we all receive, you know, like that. What about you?
On average, I would say one or two at least in a shift. Almost every shift, right? I think for me, It's those that's waiting to do tests, and they are not allowed to drink, not allowed to eat, and they have been waiting probably the night before, and they are so, the word here is hangry, so angry and hunger, right? They're so hungry.
And but then, yeah, go ahead, yep.
And you know, right? So being, that's what, if you're in a restaurant, you will know a hangry customer is the most difficult ones.
But they're not sick at least, you know?
That's another layer on top of that, correct?
Exactly, yeah. I understand. We've been patients before. You know, we get ill too, we get sick too. We've been to the emergency rooms before. It's not like we don't know. I mean, of course, it has to be terrible. You feel bad. That's why we go there. Otherwise, it's not like you're going on a holiday. And
no.
I am sure they are not blind. I'm sure they are also, you know, they are aware. The emergency is busy. The nurses cannot be there with you like in an instant. The doctors cannot come to you immediately. Even if they can, they're going to ask you the same questions. They're going to do all the necessary tests, blood work, you know, or maybe imaging, and then maybe give you some medication to help you ease. But they still need to wait for the results before they come back and give you a solution, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and these labs take time.
Yep.
But they are just throwing tantrums. You know, they are abusing, verbally abusing the nurses, saying, calling them stupid, calling them names. You know, of course, we find it difficult for us to interpret those names.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for them. I really do feel bad.
I do too, yes. Yeah.
They even snap at us interpreters for what reason.
Yes. Yeah, the sometimes, are you interpreting this correctly? Lei ya mo gong ngam a? Lei tong le gong ski ya mo sik ye zuo a?
Yeah.
Whereas he has a tube down his stomach, so.
Yeah.
I empathy them totally. I know they are in a very difficult situation.
Definitely,
but I don't think the nurses is having a good time seeing how they're going through what they're going through too.
Yeah, every patient they go through is the same thing, right? I mean, they have to pamper all of them. They have to be so gentle. They have to
attentive.
Really, yeah, attentive, like you say. You know, it's just amazing how they do their job. I mean, for me, if I were a nurse, I would go crazy dealing with and we are just dealing with just one language, Cantonese, and then some of the Mandarin, and then other interpreters dealing with different languages, but they have to deal with all these patients.
Oh,
so
yes.
I really salute them.
Mine
but you
too.
Know what make me really pissed off really sometimes. I feel like the patients need to also understand one thing. You came to the emergency. You needed help. Okay, I understand waiting is not fun. Okay, especially when you're in so much discomfort, you are waiting to be seen, and then they go through the whole process, ask you questions, do some testing, arrange imaging, give you some medication, maybe do some blood work. Okay, I understand you're hungry, you're angry, but in order for them to really know what's going on, they have to do it. And you know the drill. Now, okay, after going through that, there comes the solution. The doctor finally comes back and offer them a solution. Oh, you are having this and this and this. You need to take this medication. We will prescribe you this medication. And then you need to follow up with your doctor. Or they may say, based on what we understand, I think you need to see a specialist because we think you have to go through a procedure or a surgery. Wow, all hell broke loose.
Oh, yes.
Although I don't want to take medication because it's going to hurt my liver. It's not nice.
Good
it's not
for my kidney.
Yeah, not for my kidney. No. Oh, surgery. No, it's too dangerous. Oh, it's risky. Oh, I might die. It's scary. Then why are you there?
I think that's the frustration part because for us as interpreters, we understand the process. We know what's coming up. Yes, sometimes in ER setting, in emergency room settings, there's a lot of uncertainty before the labs are out, the CT scan is done, before the doctor can actually prescribe you something. But I think at the same time, right, when you're there, you say you're dizzy, you're nausea, they will give you a painkiller, they will give you anti-nausea medicine straight away to make you feel comfortable for now, before they wait for the labs. But if you think back, if there is any underlying issues, health issues, and they prescribe you those medicine, it's also, you know, it's a double-edged sword, right? It might hurt you at the same time, and right? So, like you said, coming to ER, you need to understand there is protocols they need to follow.
Yep.
So need to be patient. You're seeking help.
Yeah, you are not the only one seeking
help.
Yes. But you see, that's the thing. They have gone through the long queues, the long waits, and then they are grouchy, they are hungry, they're angry, you know, they are very abusive. So you know the whole drill. You know, going to the hospital, the doctor is going to prescribe you with medication, a procedure, or even to stay in the hospital so that you can have a surgery, etc., etc. Then you throw another tantrum, you are being agitated, you are yelling at everybody, no, I don't want medication because it's going to harm my body. No, I don't want surgery because I might die, I might have complications. Then why are you there, my goodness? Why, for the love of God, are you there?
I'm speechless because it's like my empathy goes to them, my empathy goes to the doctor, my empathy goes to the nurses is taking care of there. But at the same time, being disrespectful, sometimes they will call the nurses names.
Oh yeah.
Unpleasant names.
Nasty names too.
The doctors, you know? They say the doctors are useless, things like that. It's like,
yeah.
Come on. You know, I can interpret, no problem. Saying those words are fine. But, you know, that's this part of me is like, do I want to say that?
Seriously. I mean, I already feel sorry for the doctors. They have to deal with all this. They have to rush from one patient to the other. They have to look at results. They have to go and consult with the supervising doctors, attending doctors. Then they have to make a decision. What is the next best thing to do? Then you think, oh, okay, this is the best thing that the patient needs right now. And then what they need to do after. Whether they need to stay in the hospital, maybe they need to just take medication, and then maybe they need to follow up with someone or a specialist. The doctor did their best within such short time frame. They rushed there, they tried to explain, us hoping that they're feeling better with some medication already. After we interpret everything, we get yelled at as if we are the ones who are telling them the whole solution.
Yeah.
So they don't want medication. They don't want surgery. And because they don't want this thing, they will call, like what you say, all these nasty names, say they're useless. Other than medication or surgery or procedure, they don't know anything else. That's the only thing they need, they know how to do. And we sit there, okay, we still empathize, you know, going on. Then how do we actually address that to the doctors? How? Do we interpret and say, you're so useless. You know, the only thing you know how is to give me medicine or surgery.
Yes.
Then why are you here?
I don't deny there's a split second of, do I need to interpret this moment? It's like, doc, you come for help. Like you say, you come for help.
Yeah.
And you are calling the doctor useless.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
WTF? The fuck?
Exactly. So, you know, doctors, some of these doctors, they can be, you know, everybody has a temper too. And there's a limit. So one of the doctors actually said, look, I don't have a magic wand to give you a spell and everything goes away. You have to do one of the other. It's either you take medication or you have this surgery.
Right.
There's no other option. Your problem will not go away. There's no magic trick that I know that can help you have this pain go away. I wish I could, but it's unfortunate that I
it doesn't
don't.
Work that way.
It doesn't work that way. So it's either or. or both, depending on your follow-up appointment with your family doctor, you know? And I remember what you told me about one of the calls you had, that the patient's son wanted to tell the doctor that, hey, if you wanted to know about my father's condition, you could have just asked me. Can you just briefly just share with the listeners like what happened during the call?
So the doctor was being very professional. Of course, he has his... it's not his protocol per se, because every hospital has their own standard protocols to do as well, right? For safety reasons. So doctors called in having me to ask... He wanted to ask a few questions to the patient, right? So while we were asking all this question, the son in the background was like, you could have just asked me this. I could have given you the answer, right? So one of the thing was the patient had a fall. And he was sent by the son to the ER. Of course, elderly, when they have a fall, right, they just want to be careful. Understand that. And they wanted to be treated fast, expedite the treatment. You know, of course, as every patient does.
Right.
Everyone wants to be seen the first one, but unfortunately, that's not how it's going to play out.
Right.
So, the doctor said to me when the call came in, doctor, first thing said to me, interpreters, I need to ask the patient a few questions based on his experience of the fall. Oh, okay, understand. So the camera was directed to the patient, and I can see at the corner, the son was at the corner. I can hear him because he speaks rather loud, right?
Right.
So the first thing he asked, before the fall, did you feel dizzy? Did you feel unstable? Did you felt the room was spinning? So I interpreted, 先生, 跌倒之前, 有没有觉得头晕啊? 有没有觉得不稳定啊? 或者有没有觉得个房旋转紧呢? So before the elderly father could even answer, the son in the background, you could have asked me that. I know the answer. I'm an engineer. I take care of him 24/7, right? The doctor stopped him. No, I want to know this answer from the patient himself. Because you cannot be in the room with him, because you say he fell and you came into the room, so you weren't there when the moment of the incident happened. So I have to direct the question back to the patient, and I say, 先生,这个问题医生是问你的,跌倒之前有没有觉得头晕啊? I have to ask again the same question, right? Because it was interrupted. You see how much time was wasted?
Yep, exactly.
Deep down, see? The frustration from my end.
So what if you're an engineer?
Exactly. So the question is not about you being an engineer. The question is whether you're there when he fell, right? That was not the question I'm asking your father. So I directed the question. I have to ask everything again. There's like 5-10 seconds gone again. And you're in an ER setting. It's emergent. It's acute, right?
Right.
So the elderly uncle, the father was like, no, I didn't feel dizzy. I didn't feel stable. Nothing like that. Okay. So I interpreted back to the client, to the doctor, and the son again. I could have told you that, right? You don't have to go through an interpreter and ask him. Now, this is the part where my fuse is going off already, but I'm still like
professional.
Stay calm, stay composed, right?
Yeah.
So the doctor, the doctor say next makes me feel so much better.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're an engineer. If I have an engineer related question, you're the first one that I would go and ask. But I'm the doctor here. You're in the emergency. Let me do my job. I was laughing with my face straight in my heart, like, yes. That's it. Oh, I feel so good. And you know, like, the subsequent question, he interrupts, but very little.
Right.
But that was a good moment.
Yeah, I mean, but you did say he said he looks after the father 24/7. But he is an engineer, so what, he works from home, Leong Ki Kun, what?
I don't know, because it's not my place to ask any question. So the doctor did ask. So you say son did mention earlier in the conversation that I assume because I came into the picture halfway in their conversation. So the doctor was like, after asking all this question, he was like turning this question to the son, right? Just to, I don't know what he was trying to find out, but it was a conversation between them which I overheard. So the doctor asked the son, so you said you take care of him 24/7, you are his home care, but at the same time you're an engineer. Like you say, it's like
Leong Tae Kun,
Len Seung Bae
Ye. Yeah. So he works from home. No job. Oh my god. It is unbelievable,
isn't it? And it's so disrespectful to the doctor. Come on.
Yeah.
If you are an engineer, you know what to do. In my heart, I was thinking of that.
Then you're not a doctor. Mm-mm. You're an engineer, so what? You know, you can't save your father's life. Otherwise, you would have done it yourself. You wouldn't need to be in the hospital. So, in a hospital, they don't tell you what to do with your job, so don't question what the doctor do. Yeah. So, same thing. It applies to the other patients, you know. You're not a doctor. You're in a hospital. You came to the hospital for help. Nobody begged you to come. Nobody forced you to come. You wanted to come. You needed to come. And when the doctor did all their tests, all the results came out, and they made a decision what to do, and you want to question their solutions, that you want to deny and say that, no, I don't want to do this because it hurts my body. No, I don't want to do that. I might die in the surgery because there's so many complications, possible complications. Then what is the point? Then you have like what you have experienced, you know, the family members are being disrespectful, thinking that, hey, I'm an engineer, you know, and I take care of him 24/7. You know, it's just a very simple thing. Oh, so you actually saw him fall? No. Okay, so you're not there. Even though you look out 24/7, you were not there when he fell. Okay, you're an engineer, but you're not a doctor. So what are you saying? So I hope whatever the doctor is offering as a solution, he's not going to say that, I'm an engineer, I don't think my father needs this, I don't think my father needs that.
But you know, when the doctor was giving the plan of care, he was very polite. It's like, okay, you're talking doctor to me, so I should speak engineer to you. So I should respect, your plan of care. He didn't question, so that was the good part of it. Okay. But throughout the conversation, I'm sorry, he was definitely a pain in the ass because he kept saying, I could have told you this. You could have been there for the fall.
Yeah, exactly. If you're really 24/7, you should have been there where your father has fell or fallen. Mm-hmm. You know, so why weren't you there? What were you doing? Were you, what, surveying the land at home? I don't know. This is the thing, you know.
That's
so
the thing.
Yeah. So every day, interpreters step into conversations, you know, filled with fear, sometimes pain, and a lot of frustration.
Empathy is essential, but it doesn't mean self-erasure or tolerating harm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I agree. Understanding why someone struggles, you know, doesn't require accepting disrespect. You know.
Yes. Yes. You are allowed to be compassionate and have boundaries, definitely.
Mm. Yeah. So, if today's episode kept you thinking, know this, that you're not alone.
Take care of yourself between assignments, debrief when you need to.
And thank you for spending this time with us.
This is Behind the Mic.
We'll see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think we did quite a good job this time.
Yep.
Yay!
Hey, you're closing.
No.
Leng.